This is more like it. And a free bar from the looks of things.
Maybe I can offer you some refreshments.
Certainly. I'll grab a mug of ale and a glass of mead, please.
There you go, sir.
Thank you. Ah, that was delicious. You don't want anything? No? Okay. Well, with that mask on, it's even harder to know what's going on in that head of yours. No, don't remove it. The Reaper likes to call at events like this. He won't trouble you while you're wearing the mask. In fact, from what I hear, he can be quite pleasant. But if he should see your face, then he knows it. And rumor has it, you'll be walking in the labyrinth within the year. Anyway, let's throw the talisman and have a look around.
So we went laughing, I guess.
Yeah, so we actually went laughing again after the long dark.
Yeah, it's... I mean, we talked about this a little bit in the pre-larp, but I think it's worth just sort of staying again, like, a whole year later, going into a larp and all of the... Like, I guess...
Yeah, bringing new people along with us.
Yeah, and yeah, we brought... we should repeat again, we brought two more new people with us, and that's Good Dave, his brother, came along. And our friend Lloyd came along as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was
so
it was great having
new people
along.
Again. They're kind of like hype and expectation.
And nerves, right? And all the things that it's interesting kind of bringing people and you get to see a little bit of what it was like the first time you went again. And
yeah, but it was also like I felt like you got to be a little bit brave for the new guys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you can't be like, oh, fucking hell, man. Oof.
Yeah.
A bit nervous about this, and they're like, I don't know what to expect. It's just like, you'll have fun. Actually, you help remind me, dude, just have fun. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an individual sort of thing for everybody, ultimately, right? Like, you turn up and you experience it, and it's just an experience, I think, the first event. So that was really great having them.
So you showed up early. You and Lloyd got there first and started setting up the camp.
Yeah. So we'd now had, as well as the 4 meter bell tent that me and Dave have and Bungle stays in, Lloyd brought a 5 meter bell tent, and then between that we set up the 3 meter awning that we had. So it was really cool to
put your little flags on there as
well. So we had both the tents kind of facing into this awning that you could step out under when you got out your tent. We had seating area there. And
it's awesome.
We've got the fire there, the brazier there as
comfort
well.
Comfort is
absolutely
required when LARPing. It's just a chair and a fire is under something that you're not getting rained on.
It was great, and we had enough seating for everybody to actually sit down and enjoy it. It was really cool. Like, the camp upgrades, I think, were like... the weather wasn't awful, but it wasn't great, right? And it's a shame because the week before it had been glorious.
Friday, I think, was worse than Saturday.
Yeah.
There was a bit of rain. There was a fair bit of rain. Not too much. It was pretty shitty.
Yeah.
But it was the wind. The story of this weekend is the wind. The wind was an absolute pain in the ass. You know what I mean?
I didn't feel that affected by it personally. I think that's the thing, right? But
think
we were very lucky.
So obviously Navar camp in the woods, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's a fair amount of buffering that happens.
Yeah.
It's like slows it all down. I think there were some tents that I saw this weekend that were like out in the open.
Yeah.
And they had like little awning areas, and they had to take them down. It was brutal.
Yeah. I think it was a challenge for everybody, especially out on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But we were just very fortunate with our position, and I felt like it was fairly comfortable the whole time. And that's just luck.
I did lie in bed one night, I think it was a Friday, thinking about a branch coming and crashing on top of me.
There is that. There is definitely that.
Everything was creaking. But I would happily die for that. That would be, you know what I mean? Like, the risk involved is so light that I don't think it's going to be an issue, you know?
So it was great. We set up the tent. And then the other thing was delivering all the flags that I'd made for the nation, setting them up.
Trying to track people down is pretty challenging, right?
It is. I mean, but in this instance, it was a case of we'd got everything set up, and then I just had to sort of... I had these stands for the flags, which are essentially like parasol stands. They're like these big plastic drums that you fill with water, basically.
Right.
And they were just getting put inside Hessian sacks to basically make them look like more icy. More icy, not perfectly icy.
Yeah, in character.
Then I could stand these flagpoles that I made up and the flags inside those. And so I just, I just had to sort of hump them all over there and set them all up. But it was just great to have, you know, all seven of the sort of group flags kind of all lined up behind the thing. And they were setting up, like, the people who set up all of the stuff, by the way, like all of the stuff in the center for Songs and Storytime, everything that was being done with the benches.
It looks amazing.
It's so good. Like, I mean,
but there's so many people that are like putting like hard work and effort into all of that.
Real hard work, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hats off to people put lighting up, and they've got the sort of step ladders and things. They're putting a lot of work into setting up the environment. Basically. You know, just the environment that we play in, which is the woods. Like, so much effort goes in by these people.
It's still bonkers to think about. Like, Navarre's tent looks amazing.
Yeah.
But there are all these other camps that are trying to make their stuff look good too. I think the Navarre camp is pretty special. Obviously,
I think the physical nature of being in the woods, I think it lends it a certain quality that, you know, that's immediate.
We still haven't been in the orc camp yet, so we still don't really. Well, I walked through it once, but I haven't seen it in life. You know what I mean?
I've walked through it now.
Actually, I walked through during the day.
No, I walked through in the night.
Oh yeah.
Well, let's get to that. Jeez, that was bad.
That's how you get murdered.
But so basically, after that, you guys turned up as well, and then it was off to get Lloyd all sort of suited and booted, and the same for Michael, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, they went off to the new player stuff, didn't they?
Yeah.
Which is good when you actually see someone going through, like when they came back from the meeting, he went off to the new player skirmish as well.
Yeah,
it's so good. It literally is like LARP boot camp. It's just like, here are the rules. It gets you enough to know how the game is played effectively.
It sounds like now it's even better than when you and me did it last year, right? It seems like from the new player talk that you'd had, they've increased it a lot, and they've kind of added more opportunity to do things. And I think they're sort of exploring the different things they can talk about at the new player meetings, mm-hmm. and sort of, you know, really helping, I think.
Yeah,
I think, like,
they're an awesome team, and I think Lloyd definitely, I mean, he loved it, right?
Yeah,
he was really,
yeah,
loved the battle and like what's going on, like really, really impressive. He was good to go by the time he came back, right?
And then it was just sort of sending them out for weapons and stuff, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. And they had a look, but something quite interesting that we'd arranged was Robert, who's a friend of ours, I made him a flag, and in exchange, because he'd asked for one to be designed. And I made him a flagpole.
This is crafting episode, yeah. Robert, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think it's episode 14. And in exchange for that, he said, "I can give you this sword." And I thought, like, well, a sword would be crazy. So he gave me this 42-inch, really nice sword in exchange for it. I mean, I think I got definitely the steal out of the trade.
It's awesome.
It's really nice, like really well made. And I mean, his work's always amazing. So it was. I could just pass that off to Lloyd. Mm. So all of a sudden he had his sword, and he borrowed my shield, because of being an archer, I don't tend to use it.
Which you got back, by the way.
Which I got back, which was also great. I can't remember.
You did a little post, didn't you? And then someone said, like, oh, by the way, we'll have a look.
Yeah.
And then they got on that, and then it turned up, right?
Yeah. So, man, I should really have written down who that was.
I had kissed that puppy goodbye.
I had.
I'd gone through all the stages of grief, right?
But it's like, actually,
like, denied that it would, you know, be missing, it would just show up, and I got angry, and, you know, eventually I had to just face up to the fact that that beautiful, beautiful shield is lost in the wind.
But yeah, in a way, I guess it was the shield was more useful, like, because you'd used it more, actually, weirdly, out of the two of us.
I know, and I didn't get to use it. I didn't use it once.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, get to me needing a new shield.
You need a new shield.
Fuck,
yeah,
I went out with my it looks like a
manhole cover.
A manhole cover. It's an ugly bastard little shield.
I like it. It's very Ifan. But
it was 20 quid, man.
Yeah, dude, it was that's crazy. What a deal.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, this is one thing. Weapons check.
Yeah.
So my little axe failed weapons check.
That was interesting. So what actually happened there?
So what happened was, the way I'd packed it, kind of against the shield. So it was kind of against the wall.
Okay.
And it basically indented...
Oh,
the shaft bit of it, right?
Right.
So, they picked up on it immediately. I hadn't even noticed that it had happened to it.
Right.
I went, oh, dude, it's not good. It's all indented. So I looked at it and I tried to thumb it, and one guy said, no, don't mess with it. Just leave it. Put it in your car.
Right.
Like somewhere warm, and hopefully it will come back to shape.
Has it?
It has now. It didn't at the event, but now I was messing with it the other day. I'm like, you know how it goes, just messing with your weapons at home. That's a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Yeah.
It had popped out, yeah. And yeah, it's now, it, I can't, it's great.
That's
brilliant. I have to see what the weapons team think of it next time, yeah, though, but it's, yeah, it, I think it's sound.
But that, I think that's really good though, like the weapons check and stuff. And
oh, here's one thing as well. Rubber bands. They put rubber bands for safety on it.
Yeah.
Make sure you remove the rubber bands.
Yes, I didn't know about that actually.
Yeah,
that
was so this is a really important thing if you're, because rubber bands eventually start to tighten, don't they?
Yeah.
And they can really mess up your shit basically. So after an event, take off the rubber bands.
Yeah.
Top tip. Yeah. That's some, the guy told me that. I think it was at E1. I've forgotten this whole time to mention it.
No, I only found out this time, but that was really good too.
I didn't even tell you. Terrible. Oh my god, I'm no good friend at all.
No, but it was that was really great. Getting the shield back and being able to basically lend both that and this new sword to Lloyd. Mm-hmm. That was really cool, being able to kit him up.
Yeah,
And then
maybe next time he does need to go on a weapon search.
I think so. I think like that.
I think the sword
is a good sort of stand-in sword. Yeah,
it's like if you don't have one, then that's cool. Also, I got to borrow, I think it was Bung's little short sword.
Yes, you did. That was
as really a sidearm because cool. Navarre's supposed to walk around with Fawn anyway, always ready. So without my axe, my trusty axe, got a little short sword. Yeah. You know what? Way easier walking around with a little short sword than is that bloody great axe. It's a right pain in the ass.
No, it was great. Like setting up and having the guys join us in setup and everything. It was super good.
Okay. Let's talk about like listeners and interactions with listeners.
Yes. Yeah.
Really awesome. Like really nice.
Cool.
I went into this event with like a whole bunch of fucking hang-ups about like, I don't know. Like it's weird. The podcast is so small.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to show up and just like, I don't know, disappoint or dare I say piss anyone off, and it was a bit
it's kind of weird when you're doing this, right? Because I think we're both aware of really how, especially in terms of RP and stuff, we're so green.
Yeah, and people have been really really nice. Yeah, right?
People have been so friendly. My worries
about
us.
It were just like just ridiculous, non-founded. Do you know what I mean? Like everyone that we met was really really nice.
Oh yeah, it was incredible. Like people just coming up and being so friendly, and but they also they're so respectful.
But no one was like, was a dick in OC about it. Everyone was just like really nice. Anyway, less about this. We got really nice gifts of a good man called Phil Forrester.
Yeah, I mean, so he made us these.
Let's not encourage people to give us gifts. It was incredibly generous.
Yeah, like that was one thing. Nice, I think we were just both really, really shocked by it, and like totally like that. You know, awesome. It was awesome. Right?
And
it
the
was
Patreon awesome. Guys, there's a guy that camped next to us for the whole time who was a Patreon who I've been talking to loads.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like 90% sure it was him, but didn't say hello as if I knew who he was. You know, Facebook little pictures, they're tough, man. Yeah. I was a little bit embarrassed about
it. But I mean, I think the thing is, like, we both really enjoy people coming over and saying hello, and if you ever want to, that's totally fine, but we are like, you know, in no way after that, or we're just enjoying the event. And
my worries about like it affecting the game, I've been totally
everyone's so good. Like they role play with us, and then like they, you know, it's just like we're all buddies. I mean, we are all buddies, basically. I think that's just the great thing. We're just
weirded out by it, right?
I think it's just inevitable.
Let's just stop talking about it.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Never talk about it again and just move on, right? Okay, so what time in?
Yeah, so the interesting thing about this time round was like our friend Caro, who was played by Robert, he started off in a perilous situation.
Yeah, so the like a whole bunch of people that had military units.
Yeah.
And they went off to Brocéliande?
I think it's Brocéliande.
Brocéliande?
Or Brocéliande, I don't know.
Brocéliande.
I don't know. One of those three.
A place maybe that is named one of those three things. Throughout we may well switch between them randomly. Yeah. Maybe in one sentence we'll call them differently.
Differently, yeah. That's what we mean.
Brocéliande.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they were in this place, right?
And stuck behind enemy lines.
The Valorn.
Yeah, the Valorn were basically moving on them. And the basic idea was...
Yeah, the Valorn are the miasma-filled forest that turns into, like, creatures and brings back the dead.
Yeah.
And these dead are, like,
husks of the former people who they were.
Yeah, and stuff zombies, like that. Right? Yeah. But their soul can't escape to go to the labyrinth, exactly. Which is like the afterlife. So, from a Navar point of view, we want to just kill as many of them as we can and put them down for good. Yeah.
They're like, I guess the Valorn are almost like that kind of army of the dead.
I want,
thing
I
from
want
Game
them,
of Thrones, which
I
is
want
like,
them dead.
You know what I mean?
I want them all dead.
It feels like that thing where you're like the Jon Snow saying, like, we need to get everybody on this because this is like
they're
actually
the worst.
Like
I genuinely,
they're soulless dead.
I genuinely now, I love fighting them.
Yeah.
Love fighting them, right? OC, IOC, hate the Valorn.
Yeah,
I kill all of them.
Yeah,
you know?
They're great. And I think as of Navarre, it's really cool to have them. It's like a kind of a mortal enemy and that whole thing. It really adds a bit of flavour and explains why Navarre are slightly dodgy in some ways. Because in terms of like what we want, like we want the Valorn dealt with.
Yes.
So that will make us make moves that may be different to what the Empire may think it wants.
The Valorn are a very real threat to everyone and we should wipe them out immediately.
It's an army of plant zombies. It needs to be extinguished.
It's our fellow imperial citizens.
Yeah.
You know, like, we've got to go and release their souls already.
Yeah.
So they're stuck behind enemy lines on this thing,
so,
right?
So, yeah. Basically, the idea is there's going to be a number of skirmishes. And the first one is to try and free them. And the second one is then to go in and kill a herald. I thought I was very woolly on the details.
It wasn't. I have no idea what that thing was. So yeah, the first lot, they're all off. Then there's mustering. The first force goes through to try and rescue said party that was left behind enemy lines. And then we make up
the punching team that's going in afterwards.
That's going in afterwards, right?
Yeah.
So,
and bear in mind, I certainly didn't know going into the second skirmish if the first skirmish had been successful or not. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Did you know? At that
point? Had seen a few of them. I got I think I knew it went well.
Okay.
So I was expecting it to be, oh, sweet, it's the Valorn.
Yeah.
First battle in. Let's go and stretch out that arm and go and batter some people.
The previous
The
previous battle we'd had against the Valorn, I think, well, back in E1 last year, it kind of made us maybe think that, like, you know, the Valorn are scary. But the whole zombie moving thing and the way that the challenge they represent just as an experience is just such good fun.
Yeah, they sound like they'll be rubbish, but they're hardcore, man. That skirmish crew, they're not messing around.
They're really good. They role play it so well, right? Like, all of the Valorn stuff is so well done. And it's just because it's a bit different than fighting against the orcs and stuff like that. It's just really good fun to get stuck into the Valorn. So basically, you go through the gate. I split off to join the Navarches.
Sparrow, our friend Sparrow, was leading.
Our friend Sparrow, sorry. And then I got split off to join the healers with Darius, who had been with us.
Right.
Because anybody who was either a Churgeon or a Physic, which I am, got basically pulled aside or a magical healer. And I got put in one block. And that was kind of weird, having Darius pulled away from you guys.
We had a bunch of people there as well. Yeah, we weren't sure how many you would have, right? What happened from your point of view?
Because
you're near the back, right?
We're kind of in the middle third.
Right.
So I think we're just behind you guys, actually. But I think, like it's just the whole battle, we just didn't really know what was going... Like, in terms of, like, the objectives were unclear. And it's just as an artifact of it being right at the very beginning of the day.
All I understood was that they were there to kick their asses. That was my entire understanding of the battle plan.
Basically.
Right?
Which was... But it was... This is an awesome skirmish, by the way.
But also, like, it did turn a bit south, right?
Yeah.
But we had a great time, didn't we?
We had... I think that's, like... What a great way.
Let's
go through the battle. This is an awesome way to start an event.
I'm, like, advancing with the rest of the forces, right?
Yeah.
Feeling really confident before we went through the gate, but now we're through. Now it's becoming fucking real, right?
Yeah.
It's this again.
Yeah.
And I'm not prepped at all, and I'm like,
yeah,
right, let's do this. And they're moving around, and there seems to be a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then Sparrow and his second say, like, oh, you go and like block that group. We'll go and block this group, right?
Yeah.
So we split up immediately and started to like head off these like fairly small groups.
Unfortunately, what happened there was all the physics went one way. That's what happened. So that was just our bad. We as physics should have split off from each of us, gone half one way, half another way. But I think we all just went off in a block to the left.
Dude, no.
You guys had no physics,
Well, so we start engaging, and then basically, very quickly, a shitload more of these guys start showing up and start advancing onto
from
us,
all right? directions, right?
And bear in mind, so like Valorn, you can knock them down, right?
Yeah.
But they eventually, after a few seconds or whatever, start getting back up again and start attacking
you. You have to
execute
them.
So when you're fighting them, what you really want to do is advance into them. Yeah. As with anyone, but Valorn especially, you have to advance into them, okay? And we hit this really heavy resistance, and then they started flanking us, and shit's going fucking in the woods. This is, it goes bonkers, doesn't it?
It goes into it. I thought there actually I was gonna die. There were bits where I was squashed between a person on each side of me having a battle of their fucking ages,
mm-hmm.
and I'm in the middle with a bow, fumbling around, and literally not able to draw my bow because it's so compressed.
I may not like hit my RP the way I want to sometimes, but fuck me, I stepped up this weekend on the battlefield.
Yeah.
I should have been dead at least 3 times in that battle. Michael and Dave are on my flank, right?
Yeah.
And Michael just turns to me and yells at me, Derry's down!
Oh no, yeah.
And he's, like, good Dave is down by this tree, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, right? He's only like 5 meters away. And I'm like, so I start, but we're battling. But Michael's like, it's just me and him.
Right.
And everything else has been decimated or retreated. We're trying to fight our way through this absolute wall. And I can't kill him, Ian. I can't kill him fast enough.
Yeah.
But like, good Dave was sat there next to his tree with a big grin on his face, just watching this absolute carnage, like, rage around him. And there was no way we could have got to him.
I know, it was...
There's no way we could have got to him.
I didn't even see any of this. Like, at this stage, I think I was in full flight.
Oh, and I've got, like, Stay With Me or whatever.
So if you could have just got to him.
So if I could have got to him, I would have saved him. Like, I did plenty of... Oh, God, it sucks. I can still see his smiling face now.
But you did the right thing. You did withdraw.
Well, we didn't have a choice. We were literally pushed back.
So we actually fell back into this kind of fort.
So we started to... We basically had to do a runner, right? Yeah. We were some of the last people to get out from the front of the enemy.
I think you were
into the fort.
Yeah.
Everyone had already pulled back. Seemed like everyone else fared just as well as we had on that right flank.
Yeah.
And it's just fucking carnage, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
it was crazy.
Everyone's trying to retreat, and I'm trying to turn and like scare them off and buy people time because it's turning into just a complete rout, right?
So... And also in between that fallback, you actually went through the line. I think you went down. I healed you up, or you were one hit point or something.
I'd come back to the line, and I had one hit point left. And you'd given me that little potion thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which basically gives me one hit point back. What's it called?
Elixir Vitae.
It
gives you free back.
Is it free?
Yeah.
No, I should have read the card, really. Yeah. I just thought it was one. But I was about to do that, right? Because I'm like,
this is desperate situation.
This is like it. Now's the time to open the fucking bottle that you gave me. And there you are. You literally put your hand on my shoulder just as I was reaching for it.
But I start working on him, and as I'm working on him, the line is coming back over the top of us. And like, I just remember someone with like literally trying to hold them off with a shield, shout back at us, "You have to get him out of here."
I was so proud of Navarre.
It was so good, right? They just
If you want to see, by the way, when I'm talking about people like leaving on the street, it was such an ordered defense. It was, and people really stepped up and tried to. Oh yeah, we haven't even the fucking. Forest
things, yeah, and
dryads, which are like guys in suits, right? Like it's not just these husks; it's these horrendous beast monsters
who are ridiculously well RP'd.
They loved me,
yeah.
They absolutely loved me. They kept. Luckily, they get affected by cleave,
yeah.
So I managed to get saved like at least once by using cleave, right?
Yeah.
But
I think it was so at that stage I was healing you up. And the guy shouts about, you got to get him out. And like his hold, that like 1 second hold saved your life and probably mine as well.
Fighting as your nation is
It was so
sweet,
good.
Man.
So it went from like a panic situation and Sparrow left us out
of there.
Well,
we fought into the fort, right?
Yeah.
And then they're literally reaching over the top of the thing. And
like, trying to hit us.
Lloyd
got
battered
a
couple of times. And it's just it's running through like this environment of all them chasing after us. We literally... just managed to leave by the seat of our pants, right?
Well, that was the crazy thing. We were in the fort, and I thought for a second, you know, oh, we got in the fort, we can hold the gate. And the gate was already breached
when
I went in.
everything was immediately, there was no,
it was just, not holding in the fort. It was
so
just,
good to a fighting defense and well played by the skirmish crew. They absolutely dicked on us.
Yeah, they absolutely dominated us, and it was so good. And so we end up like basically falling out of the thing and retreating behind the gate. And I tell you what was really cool and what I really enjoyed about it was like afterwards, we just applauded them from the other side of the gate having got through and survived,
mm-hmm.
except for Derry when he didn't make it through the gate. And but we just applauded the skirmish crew, and they were just so good.
I mean, just that, and then we came out, and obviously because we went into the miasma, we all had the
green lung thing, so we all have to act like we're coughing when we leave.
And it was just, oh man, it sucked, didn't it? Just to kind of be our asses handed to us.
Yeah, and then we have to go and sit on the floor and cough, and we lost a guy, and it's the first death we've ever had as Ashbourne. It was really weird. It was a strange sensation, and
especially right at the beginning of an event.
Right?
It made me well up for getting revenge.
Yeah.
Right. And there were plenty of opportunities to do so.
Yeah.
Right?
We did a lot of fighting this time round, I think, and it's just such good fun.
Yeah.
And
we didn't go on another skirmish that night, unfortunately, though. So.
But,
You got told that you needed to go and see the Euro's End at midnight, right?
Yes, I did. That was very interesting. So we basically, after the battle, there was a Thorns Council, I think.
Oh, yeah, the Thorns Council.
Which was really cool. Kiartan, who's like not a military leader, but like he kind of leads some of the battles,
skirmishes
and stuff. He's basically set up this whole awesome camp area where it's like he's got a blackboard of all the skirmish times on.
All the skirmish times, so you know exactly what's going on.
Which nations
how many
it's
people.
Important with.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so good. And then he's holding the standard with the flag on that I made,
mm-hmm.
and talking through the nation, and he's set up this whole thing where he's going to have tea and this song playing, which will mean that everybody who goes there gets healed.
And gets their hero points back, which was an absolute lifesaver for me.
It was amazing.
So
and
I became so much more of an effective Ifan because mm-hmm. of this.
It was so cool, and it felt like Nivar. Then the one thing that kind of thing will flow through this is actually like stuff got military, and it felt serious, and it had that kind of like it had that feel where like Nivar were really kind of saying, you know, like it felt like we put a lot more effort, I guess. I see into the idea of, you know, moving on our goals.
Well, also he injured his foot or his leg,
he
so
had,
he couldn't go fight.
Which is why Sparrow did it, because I think he might.
Okay.
Have, yeah.
Wellington.
Yeah.
Described Napoleon being worth 40,000 troops on the battlefield. How much do you think Kiartan's worth on the battlefield? I mean.
But I think we've got a lot of people. I mean, Sparrow is the same, right?
Yeah.
He's like one of these.
We have excellent leaders.
We have
to be
excellent
fair.
Leaders, and I think like one thing that really strikes to me is there's a lot of these people who are like big figures, like Sparrow and Kiartan, and I've forgotten her name, the voice of the nation, and like our Egregores and stuff, and just so many
some
other players
leaders,
as well, and like that you just feel. Oh, you know, they're really big deals, but you can talk to them as a completely new player, and they're so friendly.
No, but
and they get you involved in so much.
But also, you can become that.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Like, heroes aren't born, they're made.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you can go out there and you can. It's your game.
Yeah.
You can play as hard as you want to go.
And I think that's one of the things this time round. I role played quite light almost all weekend. And I found that it was just a case of. It being E1 again, and me being kind of comfortable with the environment we're in. And I think what that's done is, and I said this in the pre-LARP, but it's made me more comfortable as a human being to go and to experience it. And I think that has in turn made me maybe role play a little bit less, or maybe a little bit less conscious about the role playing, because just enjoying being comfortable in the surroundings
mm-hmm.
and enjoying the experience of going LARPing. And I think next time I really want to try and step up my RP game a bit.
Dude, my RP game, I was really disappointed with this time around. Like, I think it was having new people there, and you don't want to be like, fucking go hardcore at them. You know what I mean? It's a bit of a weird thing to kind of go hard out. But, like, death, we need to deal with that as a Striding, yeah. And at least work out.
We were really cheap on that. That man, was
we need
that
to really
bad.
Like.
So what we're talking about here, work something what out. We're talking about here is obviously when Derry died. Obviously, we obviously like as a Striding, we should do something to recognise his death. I see. So it's like. We didn't really do anything, and I think
we didn't do shit. We talked about it, and we talked about we're good, but we never actually did anything. Yeah. We need to really get that shit down.
Because bear in mind, like that's a big thing that's happened to us, and the fact that I think we didn't explore it is something that really I think we'll have to nail down next time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so that was, and I think like honestly, I think part of that's the weather, part of that's it being E1, and I'd say part of it is just being more comfortable as human beings going. And I think that's an interesting place for my LARP development to be. Mm. Like the fact that I, you know, Ian, am comfortable in the setting, but now I have to get comfortable being Ian, role-playing Talis in that setting.
Yeah.
And I think that's a different experience, yeah, totally a different agree. Skill set that I need to do that. Because I was really weak, a lot of those.
It's interesting you said that. We haven't really spoken about this because we try to avoid talking about all things
it's
LARP.
It's so hard not
it's
to
really
talk.
It's really difficult. But the... I totally agree. You're literally stealing what I want to say right now because that's exactly how I feel. There were moments where I had a really good time when I was RPing stuff, but generally, my RP game was a bit shit this time.
I think to be honest with you, my best RP was away from you guys.
Yeah.
And I think the reason that is because when you engage with other people, you're aware that you want to try and make their game as good as possible.
When I was by myself,
it's
a lot easier.
But I think when you're with your friends, you just naturally fall into conversations sometimes.
And, massively.
And the other thing is because we've got a few friends who are also, you know, they're not the friends that we come with. They're people that we know there and they're people that we've got fairly good relationships with. I've maybe settled into this like bad habit of like not role playing that much with them either. Just because I'm comfortable around them as human beings.
I've got some ideas about what we can do to move forward and maybe do like actual. Like get some ceremony into it.
Yeah, I think that is we've talked a big game about some of the Ashbourne stuff, but we've never really explored it.
Look at how Navarre behave, right? So they have like you get indoctrinated into that nation. Yeah. We should totally cult out, dude. We should do like ceremonies and fucking do all that shit, and everyone kind of like agrees that we're gonna do this.
Yeah,
nerdy. Shit.
I think there's stuff we need to talk about on the as a Striding OC and try and nail some ideas down for IC, but not over talk it. And it's a difficult balance to strike. We've during this event we joined a conglomerate of Stridings, which includes some of our friends, and I think that will be potentially good for RP because now we'll have direct more interactions basically with more people and be able to kind of express what our Striding is within that group.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be hopefully something interesting.
Yeah, because one of them that might be joining that mega corporation is the Boar's Head.
Oh, the Boar's Head. Now that's where
I've got a lot of things to say about the Boar's Head.
What you mean the best, worst, best dive bar?
It used to be the best dive bar in Anvil. 100%, right? We all agree on that. It was literally like a fire pit and a bench, and people would ply you with drinks. And you'd have to, you'd give them whatever.
Yeah.
They'll get you drunk enough that you'd be like, I'll give you a crown for it, whatever. Right?
Yeah.
Now, they're so fancy with their covered bar area.
They have
a
covered bar area.
And delicious beverages.
Seating around the fire. That's...
Yeah, it's quite a delight. Hot water they'll have on.
They give you niblets that are actually
They cook lamb. They cook lamb, Ian.
So what we're talking about, we've got this... a friend of ours, Sinwig, played by Callum, and he's got this awesome bar with his mate, and they just run this amazing place called the Boar's Head. Yeah, there's a whole group of them.
It's a great bar. I really like it, but I see. It used to be a great dive bar, and now it's just a pretty good bar.
And Ifan and Sinwig ended up having like a really good back and forth literally about how good a dive bar it was and that it wasn't a dive bar anymore, and these two were just shouting at each other across the field.
We literally argued the entire time we were there, which was about like 5-10 minutes of us just arguing at each other. I think we had a drink there, and then as I'm leaving we carry on arguing with each other, yelling across the field as we go. It was just beautiful.
That was probably actually the best RP that we probably had in the whole
it's thing. Fun because I know Callum fairly well now, having been LARPing with him.
I think, and that showed a lot, right? I think you guys hit a really nice stride on that, and everyone was laughing, like so many people, like we were falling around in tears of laughter because it was so funny. Just the back and forth, and the fact that like he'd be saying something like "it is a dive bar," and then like his mate would bring out like nibbles,
yeah, fucking snacks,
yeah, and it was like, "what's this?" and he'd be like, and then he'd come back at you with stuff, and it was so good.
Yeah, and the service was excellent.
Yeah,
it was a really nice environment. I was absolutely disgusted by what I found me. What happened to success, Ian? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Coming in, ruining everything. You know what I mean?
It's still the best dive bar on Anvil.
Well, it's not a dive bar anymore. I won't hear any more about it. So then we went a couple of places for a few drinks, didn't we? Basically, we didn't.
One other thing at the battle that happened that I wanted to get into was during the battle. I wear a hip quiver, and during the battle, one of the Vlon was down, and I think he was doing like an animated kind of like death thing, and he entirely accidentally grabbed hold of my hip quiver and pulled it, and that snapped it. So all the way through the battle, I was essentially like running around, having to pick it up and sort of move it around and sort of try and find a way to, you know, not lose it or not trip over it. So that, it was just a bit of a bummer, and it was like, I think I'll kind of talk on this a few times, but there's an interesting thing with LARP where, and especially battles in LARP, where there's a certain element of risk to what you're doing, and that risk is that you can't, it's difficult to get around the fact that you need to accept some of it, and some of it is that, you know, your kit might get a bit damaged, as say completely accidentally, or, you know, things might get maybe a touch more physical than you would want at times, but it's something that I kind of go in being happy with, but I think it's something that is a challenge for everyone, and everyone's got their own sort of tolerances for it and what they're willing to accept as those risks.
This happened a lot, right? Like there were a few occasions.
Yeah.
Should we just go through them now? Or do you want to break
I think because some of them are
battle
dependent.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happened this weekend that I'm kind of like kind of conscious of now, and I think I'll be curious to pick your
brain. I've got a couple of thoughts on that, and then some other things as well, and it's in no way a criticism to any of this stuff. As I say, I personally really enjoyed in that situation like the contact and stuff as a bit of RP from the person. It was fine. It was just a real bummer for me personally that obviously this bit of kit of mine got broke.
It sucked. And it sucked. I felt for me, man,
because it's like I'd made that but it's like at the same time I went in and it turned out okay. Good things happened.
You MacGyvered the shit out of it, right?
Yeah,
I
did.
To get it working.
I got it working again, and it ended up breaking actually a bit later. Lost it properly. Yeah, but it's just one of those things that happens, and it was a bit of a bummer, dude. But I'm gonna come up with something better, or I might just stick with my back quiver. I don't know. I'm gonna think about it. But it was, for sure, it was an interesting experience. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut us off after that.
I think it's definitely worth mentioning, right? Because it's like it's something that you worked really hard on. There's a bunch of stuff that happened this weekend, and we can kind of talk about it, and then we'll surmise like towards the end of some of our overall thoughts on it, because there was so many examples of weird little, how much game do you want to play and how hard do you want to go, right?
Yeah, how much of the game are you willing to accept coming back at you? And I mean that in terms of like, you know, the game can give you a lot.
There were over 2,000 people, right? Yeah. Like there's I got numbers. I'll go through them now because we're talking about it. But there was 1,983 bookings.
Right.
66 complimentaries, 81 young players.
Right.
And I'll get to the academy later because those little guys are so cute, man.
The
stuff
that PD does, and through extension, of course, all of the player base, to basically keep this really interesting collaborative world sort of living and breathing and fun for everyone.
There were loads of kids this weekend. I was like, a lady came out with her daughter and her son. They were so nice.
Yeah.
And little kids had like little swords. And the girl was like, rawr, and I was just like, I was pretty scared. It just added to the whole thing. It was really nice. Anyway, so then you also have 339 crew, making a sum total. I think this might be slightly larger gate bookings potentially, but 2,460.
Wow. But so, in a weird way, I can almost imagine more people than that.
I think there were more people than that. Yeah. But think of it that way, right? There were that many people all going to this event. There's going to be all sorts of ways that people want to play the game within the structure.
Yeah, and you're going to bump up against people who play slightly differently than you, or going at a different tempo or at a different RPM rate than you. And that's just going to happen. And I think, but everyone's so respectful of everyone, and everyone's so...
This is the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah, right? And I think it's more a case of, you know, your experience, everyone wants it to succeed. And, you know, you just don't come across sort of arseholes or people doing stuff. It's just everyone really gives it their all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, yeah, after the whole situation with the bull's head...
Well, we went out for a few drinks. Went to Wintermark. Do you remember the guy that ran the campfire telling the story about the, what was it called, the Krampus?
Yes, that was cool.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was really cool.
Storytelling in Wintermark.
Yeah, and that was... It was kind of interesting. We didn't do as much of walking around the nations this time. Which,
by the way, this was a really informal thing as well. This was just around a campfire. Like, yes. It wasn't even like... It was literally in conversation the guy told the story. You know?
Yeah. But yeah, we didn't do as much walking around the nations this time as maybe previous times, which again is a slight regret. But the weather is a factor.
It's 100%. You're also going to places that are a little less active and a lot more just their nation dominant. Like, I don't think there wasn't a huge amount of people running around.
I think, as you say, the weather's a massive aspect there. But also, there were so many activities that we were involved in terms of battles and so on, that there actually wasn't that much time to go around and do like a tour of the nation or anything like that. Just because I wanted to get stuck into a whole bunch of different things in the game. So, yeah, we went around drinking. We did a bit of shopping as well. Just before that, I think, just sort of buying very small bits of kit. I bought some leg wraps and things like that for my greaves.
But, I mean, generally we didn't do much that night, right?
No, not at all. I guess the biggest thing I did was try and head off to get to Eurozen, because I would have arranged obviously this sort of midnight meeting. But it literally, as I was walking over there, the heavens opened, and I was just stuck out in Eurozen getting wet, obviously realizing that the thing wasn't going ahead, which was totally fine, by the way, because like I wouldn't have wanted to host something in weather like that. So I ended up just diving into this one tent that had an open kind of door and some light inside. It turned out to be this Eurozen-y tea bar / pub that was just really quiet, but there was a couple of people in there, and I kind of went in with two guys who were talking about business, and it was some kind of trade deal going on, you know, fairly high level broker stuff. And it was just like, through the weather, I had found my way standing next to them, listening to them, their exchange over what these resources were going to be sold for. And I kind of really like those kind of bits where you kind of stumble in on other people's game, and they're playing they're playing their own game and looking for their own things
massively.
And you can kind of, I was hardly involved in the conversation. I just like asked them, "What's this?" a few times.
People are RP a lot more in public areas, right?
Yeah,
I don't know how many people. Maybe they do in their tent.
But I think as well, like you walking up to people and saying, "What's this?" You know, what's going on? What is it you're talking about? Even you can sometimes kind of fall into some interesting sort of bits and bobs that way.
Well, I tried to sell my vodka that night as well.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Actually, let's talk about vodka and selling it in the next episode.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you did more there, and then you kind of went for it more there as well. So after that, I think we're going to do songs and story time, but I don't think we really did.
I stopped in for a very brief amount of time.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it still, but I was knackered anyway.
I think we were all tired. Setting up the tent, which isn't, and all the stuff that I have, isn't something that we really went into, but it's a big job, and there's a lot of stuff that needs to be arranged and a lot of stuff that needs to be organised, and you've got all of the adrenaline with going to LARP and then doing it. Weirdly, I wasn't sort of having that much because I was more comfortable there, so I wasn't that much nerves, but the adrenaline of it, like experiencing it, I wanted to get the most out of it. I think it did sort of knacker me out a little bit, so when I came back from Eurozen, I was like, I think I'm just gonna hit bed, and I think that's pretty much what we did, right?
That's Friday.
Yeah,
but Saturday, bigger day, a lot more battles, right? Yeah. Join us again for the next episode and we'll go through what we did on Saturday. Cool.
Alright.
Interesting. The talisman seems to be pointing in this direction. Follow me. Elite guard asleep at their post? Unlikely. And they're guarding the entrance to the family tombs. Curiouser and curiouser. Ah, as I expected. They have been drugged. We're on the right path, even if it seems behind our competition. Onward!